This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Have severe hardships ever brought blessings to your life? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for the good days of our lives. We thank you when we're doing well as far as our life is concerned, our health is well, we're getting along financially all right, our children are nearby and we love them and they love us. But then come those days when things begin to go wrong. There are hardships that come. Death invades our family. Financial difficulties disturb us, and so it goes on and on. Help us to understand, O God, that in these days of hardship, you are still there. Help us to understand what it means. Blessed are those who sorrow, for they shall be comforted. Help us to understand what it means when the word says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. All this we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. It begins with verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are the Beatitudes, the very beginning verses of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Would you imagine now with me for a few minutes that you want to know more about the Christian faith? So you go to a good friend who is a Christian and you ask him to help you. He talks with you for a little while and then he hands you a Bible. He suggests that you begin to read the Bible at the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament. Read one chapter a day, he said, and then meditate upon it. So you get the Bible and you read carefully. Day one goes by, two, three, four, and five. And then on the fifth day, you read these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, what do you say? Remember, you're not a Christian. You're seeking to know more about the Lord, and you have been handed this Bible and referred to this part of the Bible, and this is what supposedly the blessed are like: poor in spirit, mourning, and meek. That's not the world that you know. And so you ask the question, what is it all about? I am convinced that while the Beatitudes is one of the most popular parts of the Bible, few people have a clue as to what some of these verses really mean. I know I have struggled with it all during my ministry. And not long ago, my son-in-law suggested that I read Dallas Willard's book entitled The Divine Conspiracy, for there you would get some new insights into what the Beatitudes really have in mind. So for the next few weeks, I am going to preach some sermons on the Beatitudes. They will not answer all of the questions that our Lord Jesus Christ raises in this portion of his word, but it is my prayer that we will have a deeper understanding of the Christian faith when we are done than we have right now. Let's take a look at the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, before we can even begin to ask what did Jesus really mean by those words, we have to catch the setting. If you take the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, from verses 23 right down to the end of that chapter, you'll find that Jesus is healing the sick. Here they have come. They are the poor, and they are the rich. They are the leaders, and they are the followers. They are the very ordinary people in society, and they are the celebrities. You see, friend, it was not just the downtrodden that Jesus was preaching to here, I'm sure. They came with their people who were suffering severe pain. They were demon-possessed. They had seizures. They were paralyzed. And Jesus healed them. And it was after he was done healing them that he said to them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." These people had severe problems. Pain, for example, is one of them. Seizures. And they could find no help. No matter where they went, there was no one who could restore them to health. That audience has not changed in 2,000 years. How many people do we not find today? And I speak, I'm sure, to some who have some real difficult problems when it comes to their health. They have had the diagnosis, you have cancer. You are suffering from a neurological disease. You've had a stroke. Alzheimer's has come to your family. There are paralysis. There's a heart attack. There's heart bypass and all the other intricacies of the operation on the heart. We don't know where to go. We've been to some of the great medical centers, to the Massachusetts General Hospital, to the Mayo Clinic, and wherever else you may find yourself in these United States. But no one is really able to help. They say, well, we can prolong your life for a little while, or there's nothing that we can do for this particular disease. We're working hard on it, but right now, there is no help. You look at the facts of life, and you're desperate. Your hearts are heavy. You have spent a fortune and have gone to the best trained people in this country and probably around the world, and there's not much that they can do for you. Supposedly, Jesus is saying, these are the people who are poor in spirit. What does it really mean? You and I have a right to ask that question. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? These are times when I feel that my work and my world has collapsed. There's nothing left. I have afflictions that cause me to be empty. I have a helpless feeling. I can find no peace. And Jesus says, that's why I'm blessed? If that is, what in the world is the meaning of blessedness? It is this. We have come to the end of our ropes. No longer can we trust humankind. No longer is there anything that we can do ourselves. And here I am, empty. Haven't you had some of those empty feelings? Everything seems to have gone by the wayside. Once your life was so full. Once you had those little children running around you, and now they're gone. Once you and your husband enjoyed one another in vacations, and now he's been taken from you. Where am I going? What am I going to do? It is with that emptiness that you can turn back and say, God, here I am. I'm ready to listen to you. You begin for the first time to really take a listening ear to the throne of grace. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he was preaching to the sick, to those who are downtrodden, to those who are very wealthy, but still their money could not bring them what they really needed. And he says to them, come, and you will find peace. It might not always be that our pain will be cured. It might not always be that our minds will be restored. It might not always be that life will just go on like it did 20 years before. But it means that we have stood in the presence of Christ. We have received him as the answer for our problems. And there is a peace which passes all understanding. Blessed is this person who realizes that his helplessness has led him to the throne of grace. Things mean nothing, and Christ means everything. Now, I'd like to talk to those of you who are Christians. Would you say that there are times in your life where your difficult moments have brought you closer to Jesus than ever before? May I get just a little bit more personal? Is it possible that you never would have been in a living relationship with God if everything had been going along just hunky-dory? There you were in control. There you were the masters of your fate. There, when you had some pain, you could call the best physician, and there, with a little therapy of one kind or surgery, whatever it might be, all would be well again. You could write out the check. You could have a great insurance policy that would provide for all of your financial needs at that particular time. Would you have stopped? Would you have stopped and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Maybe some would, but probably more often, when everything is going just fine and we don't need anybody, not even Jesus Christ, we don't stop to think about our spiritual situation. William Barclay, whom I quote real often, and I believe one of the great expositors of the scriptures, has said this: "The world can win its joys, and the world can equally well lose its joys. A change in fortune, a collapse in health, the failure of a plan, the disappointment of an ambition can take away the fickle joy the world can give. But the Christian has a sense, an untouchable joy, which comes from walking forever in the company and in the presence of Jesus Christ. The greatness of this beatitude is that they are not wistful glimpses of some future beauty. They are not even golden promises of some distant glory. They are triumphant shouts of bliss for a permanent joy that nothing in this world can ever take away." So what is this beatitude saying to us? It is saying, blessed are the people who have finally come to the place where they realize how much they need the Lord Jesus. They were not so blessed when they didn't have him, but they had a lot of other things. They were living one day at a time. Oh, now we're going to have a great outing. Now we're going to have another great experience. But when that experience comes to an end, when the health is broken, when the days have gone by and we're old and put aside for a little bit, then we begin to wonder. Then it is only back to Christ. And he is the one who will give us peace as he puts his arms around us and he says, "You're mine. I'll walk with you through this difficulty no matter what it is. And then when it is all over, I will take you to my heavenly home, there to be with me forever." Jesus is helping us see that there is something good about being poor in spirit. Our condition reveals that Christ is our only answer. We find ourselves in his presence, and without that affliction which produces the broken, empty spirit, we would not have come to him. In those days, we have found the answer to life, and the answer is a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to think that the Bible is teaching here that God has sent the affliction. That is not true. But when the affliction comes, then it is that you have a Savior who stands there. God is able to help us. When I know that, then I am among the blessed. God is the one who can walk with me through every difficulty. What are your difficulties today, friend? Are you one of those who is mourning the loss of a loved one? You think the bottom has come out of life? There's no more for you? Are you the one who looks at a younger person in your family as a father or mother who may be close to 80, and here you see your 50 or 60-year-old child, and they're dying, and you wonder, why can't it be me? That's when we're empty. That's when we're poor in spirit. That's what that word means. And the blessedness is that at that time, our Savior meets us as he has never met us before and takes us into his arms and touches us. And when he touches us, our spirits are made whole. So that's one of the Beatitudes that our Lord has given to us. He teaches us that Christ will not be far from us. Isn't that life's greatest blessing? When we rest securely in the arms of Jesus. That's the way people found it in the days that he walked among them. Many of those who had been sick and who he had healed went back home and probably said, you know, I'm thankful that once I was paralyzed and now I can walk. But I had a greater experience when I stood in his presence that day when he was preaching that Sermon on the Mount. I met him. And when I met him, all of life changed. The greatest blessing was a spiritual nature. The greatest blessing was to know that now I am secure forever. That was the experience of those poor sick people he met there. That's the experience of many people who he meets on their beds of pain in our day. Many a time have I stood by the bedside of one who was really afflicted and heard them testify, I don't like this, but I know that I am a stronger person today because through this affliction I have come to see the Savior as I never knew him before. He is no longer just a person on the pages of Scripture. He is a living Lord who lives within my heart. Take heart, my friend, and read carefully this first beatitude. Take it with you throughout the week. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Touched me.
Father in heaven, today our hearts go out in a very special way for those who are upon their beds of pain, for those who stand around the bed and wonder how long. We pray for those, O God, who yet mourn, for a spouse or a child or a parent or a friend has been taken from them, and they know the meaning of what it is to be poor in spirit. For there is that emptiness. O God, will you come to them? Will you heal them? Whether it be to take away the pain, that is one thing. But will you heal them so that they can say with Job of old, I know that my Redeemer lives, and there I find my strength. Grant, O God, that we who live in this fast-moving world of ours may let these afflictions slow us down just long enough to know that there is not much that we can do, but when we trust in you, all is well. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We praise God for his provision and pray that you have been spiritually nourished by the message today. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. All gifts to our ministry are tax deductible. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us at ChristianCrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.